Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Shit Show with Jaybo. In this episode, I'm going to tell you about Comet Ping Pong Pizza and everything I experienced there last week. Those of you who have listened closely, or at the very least listened even half-heartedly to last week's episode, you will know that I took an afternoon stroll, a trip down to the heart of the supposed pedophile jungle. Now, I'm not saying that I believe this conspiracy. I'm not trying to malign or throw people's names in the dirt. That's not my style. I am saying that there is a conspiracy regarding Comet Ping Pong Pizza, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about it later in the show. But right now, so first of all, a lot of you have heard me tell a few stories about my wonderful girlfriend, Rachel. Okay? Now, the stories you've heard, we're a little bit out there. We're going to address one of those today. I want to give her a chance to say her side of the story. She's right here. And if you wouldn't mind saying hello.
Hello.
So this is Rachel. We've been dating for 16 years, 16 short years. And we've been through a lot together.
Recently, Jesse actually... sorry, should I call you Jaybo?
You can say Jesse. Yeah. Or Jaybo, I don't care.
Jaybo. Yeah.
No dead air on radio.
Sorry.
Gotta keep talking.
He recently punched me in the face. And I had a black eye for a while. But I had to tell everyone at the hospital that I fainted.
Will you let that cat in real quick? Buffalo. That's Buffalo Longtail. You guys heard the cat coming on in. He's a beautiful white cat. We got him in beautiful white Buffalo, New York. The day after we saw Kiss. Coincidentally, I talk about that. Tonight, Kiss is playing Pittsburgh. I don't think I'm going to go. I can't really afford it. And aside from that, I saw him a year and a half ago. We saw him a year and a half ago. I love Kiss. And I love like a lot of things about them. But Paul Stanley can't sing anymore. And the chemistry wasn't there with the new players, as far as I was concerned. But that's probably just because I watched too many 70s Kiss videos.
And I'm just going to take it back a step and talk a little more about the cat. The cat was really cute when we got him, and he's still cute, but now he's bigger. And he has a really long tail. what do you think, Jaybo?
I call him the big buff boy. He's got a great personality. He's very smart. He's learned how to get out certain windows and get back in certain windows, and he kind of just runs shit, and he hasn't been hit by a car.
I think he's a Norwegian forest cat, but we don't know.
Yeah, so look up white Norwegian forest cats on Google.
That's what he looks like usually.
Yeah.
But we can't tell.
He's a big buff boy with a big old long tail. Anyway, so
And then we have another cat, too, that Jesse didn't want. I saved her from... a garbage can outside of Target.
And she's turned into a nice cat.
When we brought her home, he didn't want her until he saw how cute she was after I cleaned her off.
She gave me these green eyes.
And he actually threw her out of his room.
No, I threw Buffalo out of the room. Well, I threw her down here and she
screamed at her
me.
And she scratched the fuck out of me. It was really
It was like
up.
Some Matrix shit. I had her in my hand. And,
are you going to cut this out?
I went and threw it. I threw her because she was pissing me off or something in the middle of the night. I'm in my underwear, and right as I threw, she turned around in midair and slashed me really good. Rachel says it was just like some kind of weird automatic reaction, but I'm sure in her world she was doing Matrix shit and she just fucked me up. And so she won that night, because what am I going to do?
Look at her belly.
Anyway, so this is Rachel. I told a story a few weeks ago about her trolling me with a woman online, a fake profile named Jasmine Quelling.
No, it's called I catfished him.
Catfished
my
ass.
And I found out that he was responsive to
Jasmine Quelling.
Some girl.
Who didn't look like a real girl, by the way.
She did.
I mean, she looked like a real girl, but it was like...
boobs, like a lot of boobs.
It looked like something out of a Maxim magazine. And she started talking about sex within about three messages, so...
well, I don't know.
And her profile said Seattle, but she was, you know, miraculously 20 miles away. My point is, I knew it wasn't real. I didn't know what was going on. And I thought it might be you.
He thought it was real. He thought it was probably real and that it was like too good to be true. Because I asked him, like, he was like, send me a picture. And I was like, why? Is it too good to be true? He's like, yeah.
I said, send me a picture of you flipping me off if you're real. And then a picture got sent, and I didn't even realize it was somebody else.
It was somebody else, and her half of her boobs were showing. Like, she had under boob, and he didn't even notice it was a different brunette. But he said, send me a picture of a girl, of yourself flipping me off. And, like, so I sent him this picture I cropped out of the internet right then and there.
Would you just Google, like, girls flipping?
Yeah, I don't know. Why are we talking about this? You're just going to make me mad.
Well, tell the story. Why you catfished me?
I catfished you because I was bored. I don't know. It was like something. I was sitting at Sunoco and I just decided, oh, yeah. Because I got this little alert on my phone from Facebook saying, Jasmine, you have 6 new friend requests or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that thing. And then I went to it and I was like, huh, I could probably like message him right now. I bet he's on. And you were, and he messaged right back, and he kept messaging back, and he didn't stop messaging back, even when I said stuff like, let's meet up, you know?
Right.
So I don't know why you're just making
But me. I'm the type of guy who, like, responded to a guy trying to get me to join the Illuminati for a month.
Okay, well, I don't know.
I just fuck with people. It was obviously a troll, was my point.
I made this girl up because I was like, I think I probably have like PTSD or something from
previous situations.
Relationships, yeah. And so I guess I just like, sometimes I get real paranoid and I made up this fake account. And I was like, oh, I'll make this look real and then eventually I'll use it. And I was just impulsive when I made it and it was impulsive when I used it. It wasn't like I planned it like this.
Yeah. It's okay.
Don't touch me.
Come on. It's all right, sweetie.
I don't know.
And the J-Bo universe is
a friendly place. Jasmine Quelling, you can look her up. She's still there. I don't frequent the page. I don't even go on it because I don't want to think about that when my boyfriend basically lied to me. He did lie to me. He deleted the messages
as
they
were
happening. So, you know, he was hiding something. And when I got inside the house, I said, what's up? And he got real weird about his computer. And then, miraculously, it was a miracle, actually. For some reason, one of my messages, I thought he had just stopped responding, but it was delayed, and it popped up right as I sat down beside him. And then I caught a glimpse of the little avatar, and I said, who the fuck is that?
And you knew who it was. And I said, it was some sex bot saying ridiculous things.
I was like, oh, really? Let me see the conversation. And he was like, well, why would you want to see the conversation? It's not, it's a sex bot. It's nothing. I'm telling you. And he's like, I'll show you, but it's nothing. And then we see what he goes to show me, what I force him to show me, and it's deleted already.
Well, it was just bad business, bad mojo, that whole thing.
No, it was called catfishing and you lost.
Okay, well, hey, we all have our opinions. We're still together, so I didn't lose that much because, you know, you obviously believe that I wasn't trying to hit on somebody who I clearly believe wasn't real. I was just fucking with them, but that's fine.
No, I think that you were taking the bait, which is what catfishing is.
Okay, but I'm telling you, I never even once thought it was real, is my point. Anyway, let's, you know, it's cool. We don't need to air any of this crap.
You told me that we were airing everything.
Well, I want to ask
you. We're airing out the dirty laundry.
Well, that's fine. But I want to ask you about something else.
Mm-hmm.
The Motley Crue movie. I wanted to talk to our, I thought it was really well done, even though the actors didn't seem like.
The dirt.
What'd you think of it?
I thought they were, it was really cheesy and like.
But the 80s hair metal was really cheesy.
sometimes they had like naked girls in it, if you like that sort of thing.
Did that kind of offend your sensibilities?
No, I thought that was the best part. Not that I'm gay, but, you know.
Well, if you were around in the 80s, you realize that all these movies, it was all about TNA, like 12-year-old boys in hair metal, like going, oh, we saw some titties on HBO. So in that respect, and it was cheesy, it was kind of like reliving the 80s a little bit, for me anyway.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah. And I thought Pete Davidson was like the total wrong pick for that role.
It seemed like he was just
like
super
so
nervous.
Pale. Why was he so pale?
Yeah.
I guess he's pale like that in real life, but...
He's a slightly interesting looking cat.
Why doesn't he, like, put some makeup on?
I thought Machine Gun Kelly was a hell of a good Tommy Lee.
Who's Machine Gun Kelly?
The rapper. He's the guy who played Tommy Lee.
I mean, like, who?
He's the... I don't know much...
Tommy Lee? Isn't that Pamela Anderson's boyfriend?
Yeah, but that's the drummer of Motley Crue. That's who he was portraying. That's Tommy Lee. You never put that together? The tall, skinny one with the big nose?
Was Pam in it? Someone played
No,
her.
But Heather Locklear's doppelganger actress lady was there. Yeah.
Well, Heather Locklear wasn't the one who dated Tommy Lee.
Yes.
Oh, she did.
Pamela did later.
Oh, Pam took him. She was sloppy second.
Well, I'm probably sloppy 100ths, I'm sure.
I don't blame her.
Machine Gun Kelly, anyway, he was the guy who had a beef with Eminem and went up against M and actually stood his ground for that one song, but that was kind of it. And I wonder if behind the scenes they planned that all out and it was just really a way to get him the dirt. You know what I mean? Like, who knows behind the Hollywood scenes, like if that was actually a beef or if this was totally, you know.
Right, we don't know.
Like,
but
we do know. Jack White versus Dan Auerbach, same thing. I hear they're buddies now. Actually, I think that was actually a beef.
Well, little do you guys know, but he's getting so mad. Danny Auerbach is actually Jesse's cousin.
By marriage.
And they were buddies, and Jesse showed him how to play guitar. He said, no, Danny, that's not good.
No, I didn't.
Call back later when you're better. And then he got famous and just totally forgot about Jesse.
Okay, portions of those stories are true. But I did have a couple back and forth emails with the man, even within the past week.
Wow.
Yes.
And would you like to read those on air?
No. I just congratulated him. I said, I like the new single. Great job. And then I said, I like the new Nightbeats record that you produced, because I know those dudes. The Nightbeats, I played a show with those guys about 8 years ago in Seattle. And they were one of the hardest working bands. It's this guy.
Beep. Time's up. My story.
No, the guy's super cool, and I interviewed him on the shit show, but he just got his record produced by Danny Auerbach, and it's like the perfect mix for their type of music. I forget his fucking name.
And you can't remember his name.
I forget his name right now.
Edit it out later.
No, I'm not editing it out. He's a nice guy. We're kind of buddies. We played a show together. He's a really cool dude.
We'll edit like his name in...
No, I'm not going to do that. I don't edit the shit show generally.
That's why they call it a shit show.
Well, yeah, that's actually true. Rachel has left the building. So, is that it, Rach?
No, I'm just making another cup of coffee.
Oh, you're coming back. Okay, cool.
Down for whatever, bitch.
All right, so we are back. She just made some coffee. She decided to grind beans 10 feet from the microphone.
You acted like I was...
And
like...
run a bunch of water. And it wasn't so much that it's going to come up on the mic, but
I'm like
a
low-key addict, and I'm addicted to things like coffee and Netflix.
When I'm attempting to flow... on the shit show, sounds fuck me up.
Okay.
I used to have a strict rule at Hollow Earth Radio: nobody walks in my fucking room when I'm fucking vibing.
All right,
so that's what's going on.
Down,
okay. Anyway, you have an amazing. You have many amazing talents. You're one of the most talented
that's
people.
Right. I know.
You really, like, really and truly, one of the more.
This is the only reason I'm with him is when he goes into these like complimenting.
One of the more talented people I've known. Okay. 9-to-5 life was not meant for you.
That's right.
But you're an artist?
But I am unemployed.
No, you work.
I'm employed by DoorDash.
But you have this great talent that I wanted to bring up. And I thought about it this morning, last night. It'd be an amazing new segment on my show. And it's called, I'm going to call you the Instant Jingle Lady. Does that sound okay? So what I do, I bring up a random topic, a random product, and you come up with a jingle immediately. Like a jingle that's so catchy that if you said it three times, it would probably be embedded in these people's ears for, you know, an hour or two. So my first topic is the new Donald Trump slogan, Keep America Great. What do you got for me?
Keep America great. Do it the way that it should be done. Keep America great. Go again for a 4-year run. CAG.
That's great. That's great.
It's CAG, not CAGA.
Oh, CAG. CAGA. It's Keep America CAGA. Great again, man.
Last night I did say the CAGA.
Okay, so I want you to come up with a immediate jingle for feminism.
Feminism is something a lot of people like. Feminism is something that you and I will like. You should do it. You should do it. Subscribe to it.
Nice.
Feminism. Yeah.
Awesome. I want you to come up with a jingle for the Green New Deal.
The Green New Deal? Is this like, okay. The Green New Deal. It's the Green New Deal. It's something you should like and you should do. It's something you want to suit. It's something you want to see in the future. The Green New Deal. It's something you want to see in the future. Do you want your world to die? Me neither. So subscribe to the Green New Deal by AOC. Go ahead.
I want you to do a jingle about life on the Sunset Strip after watching the Motley Crue video. And it's called life. It's called Life on the Sunset Strip. Right.
That's not a product.
Well, let's say it was a style of body wash called Life on the Sunset Strip, and that's okay. That's what you're hawking.
Life on the Sunset Strip. It's different here. Rub it everywhere and be transported somewhere. Life on the Sunset Strip.
That's pretty damn good.
Thanks.
Well, thank you. That's like 3 or 4 we can use. That's great.
I mean, they weren't really a product, so if you want just to give me another couple.
Just some random, like, you want me to make up a product?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I wanted.
How about an alcoholic additive you put in your cat's water. It's called Alcoholic Cat.
Alcoholic cat. Alcoholic cat. It's something you put in your cat's water. It's something you can do at home with your kids watching you. Alcoholic cat. For the cats you know and love. Are they sick of catnip? Sip. Or slip them a little something in their sip. Alcoholic cat. Alcoholic cat. Available at Walmart and blah, 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 blah.
Okay, the next and last one will be slightly morbid.
The last one. Two more.
Okay, this is something you put in hot water, and it's a piece of plastic that molds to your teeth, but it's got a hole in the front for a shotgun. And so when you're blowing the back of your head off with a shotgun, your teeth can rest comfortably on the actual barrel with this nice, like, plastic. It's like something you'd put in your mouth if you're playing football. Yeah, but like a shotgun, and it's called...
Suicide retainer.
Okay.
It's the thing that you need for the end of your life. The end of your life. What's it called again? The shotgun retainer? The suicide retainer. Fuck.
The soft suicide retainer. Go for it. We can start it again.
All right. So it's just called the suicide retainer. Okay.
The suicide retainer, yeah.
Are you ready to end it all? The suicide retainer. The suicide retainer. Are you ready to see it all fall? Yeah, yeah, yeah. The suicide call. Answer the call for the suicide retainer with the suicide retainer.
Suicide retainer.
Now available at Walgreens. For the person who wants to end it all. Okay, you don't want to fuck up your teeth while you do it? Go ahead and buy the suicide retainer. Available in 3 different sizes. Big mouth, little mouth, and somewhere in between mouth.
Okay, last one for real. This is a over-the-counter method of a nose job kit, and it's called over-the-counter nose job kit.
How about it's called?
Huh?
Nose job OTC, because that's easier to remember.
Okay, nose job OTC.
I don't like my nose, I wanna change it, yeah. I always have. I don't like my nose, cause it makes me ugly, yeah. Can't get a date, can't go nowhere without thinking I want a nose job. I go into the store and I see it shining on the top shelf. I can see it, yeah. OTC nose job. It's the OTC nose job. It's all I want to do. It's all I've ever wanted. How about you, guy listening to this commercial? Go ahead and go to your nearest Kmart and get it. It's an over-the-counter nose job.
Nice.
Thank you.
That was awesome. Okay, so
I'm going to start my own podcast if you guys are interested. I'm better than Jesse.
Is it called Better Than Jesse?
Yeah.
Well, let's hope it is better than me, because then maybe you can make a living. That'd be great.
Wow. Welcome to the shit show, baby.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Shit Show with J-Bo. Say thank you to my lovely girlfriend, Rachel. I think she's brilliant with her jingle writing capabilities, and she shall be back. And thank her for debunking. I thank her for debunking. Well, explaining herself on the trolling episode, although I don't know that much got solved. Anyway, it was just a weird situation, you know. Probably better to leave it alone, but, you know, I chose to bring that up, of course. So this is a shit show with J-Bo. What have I been doing today? I went out with my father, took him to Goodwill, picked up my bicycle like we talked about before, I think, did we? Anyway, I got this red bicycle and I'm doing this killer journey from Pittsburgh down to Cumberland, Maryland, over to Washington, D.C. And it's going to be, I think, a 6-day bike ride. I may only do half of it. Depends how much work I can get off. I just got promoted. It's really crazy. I don't know if they're giving me any extra money. And how do you guys factor that in? If you get promoted in status but no extra money, is that bullshit? Should I ask for extra money? Because I just got my raise. And I didn't quite get what I wanted for the raise, so maybe I should just ask for the difference. And it's only 50 cents, so whatever. So yeah, the bike ride from Pittsburgh down to Cumberland and up to DC. Got my bike tuned up. Gentleman down in downtown Greensburg. I don't know his name. Maybe actually, I have no idea what his name is, but he's a super sweet guy, and he lives in this house. And the place is called the Cyclery. So if you're in Greensburg, please go to the Cyclery. It's local. Always shop local. He'll charge you $25 and tune your bike up. And he's been there in the same place for like 35, 40 years, probably since the 70s. And you can tell he's been riding a bike and has been active his whole life because he's an older gentleman. I would say he's probably mid 60s to 70. And he just looks like, broad shouldered. Like he just looks like he's in shape, So everybody bike for the lifestyle. Every time I mention bike, somebody thinks I'm talking about a motorcycle. I love motorcycles and I would love to get a motorcycle. And one day I will have a motorcycle, but I don't. And I never really have driven one that much, but I drove my stepdad's fucking Honda scooter, which is as powerful practically as a small motorcycle. It could get up to like 70 miles an hour. And I figured out the reason why people love motorcycles is because it feels like you're flying. It legitimately feels like you are flying, not, I guess not literally, but to me, it had a sensation of flying and, gliding through the air and over the ground with the greatest of ease and the wind through your hair. And it's just a beautiful thing. The downside is if you go down or you get hit by a car, that could be it, because there's the survival rate of getting wrecked in a motorcycle is much less than most other vehicles. But that's a chance you take to be a badass who feels like he's flying, I suppose. So last week, as we talked about it, we as in the shit show with Jabo, me, myself, and I went down to Comet Ping Pong Pizza. And I will say it was a strange place. As you may or may not know, depending how much you listen, depending how conspiracy theory oriented you are, supposedly the owner of that place, his name is James Alefantis. And I guess technically, whatever. I was listening to these weird. Look, I don't want to besmirch that place's character because I have no proof. And I, they seemed okay. But I did walk in there and people seemed. I could have been projecting. People seemed very strange. It was like I was walking into a restaurant where everybody had a secret and everybody had a certain type of face. And it was like they were burdened by something. That's what it felt like. The door person who had a Nirvana shirt, he or she looked like, I don't know, slightly uncomfortable or something. And I asked what their favorite Nirvana song was, and they had no idea. They didn't know any Nirvana songs, which I thought was weird. People wear band shirts, they have no idea. Although I did have a House of Pain shirt once that I thought was great because it was silver looking, and I could only name Jump Around. But that's more than what this person could name. They couldn't even name Smells Like Teen Spirit, I don't think. And if they did, maybe they called it Nevermind or something. But I went in and I just looked around, and all eyes were on me because this is a place where, heavy conspiracies of child pedophilia have been laid down. And supposedly, there's like art, live art shows where it could be, children and insane kind of like child abuse paintings on the walls, which I didn't see. And apparently, since this stuff broke, it was all taken down. And apparently, there's like catacombs under this thing that lead the whole way to the Capitol. Just these wild stories. And I have no idea if any of it's true. In fact, it probably isn't true, but I went anyway because it was just, I don't know, it was one of those famous places. I'm like, Comet Ping Pong Pizza. I've been hearing about that place for 3 years, probably, Pizzagate, or at least 2 years. And it was only like an hour and 45 minutes away from where I was. And I'm the type of person to go ahead and just check some shit out. I was adventurous. I took a drive. I did a podcast. I said, that's what I'll do. I'll be like a modern gentleman, a modern fucking detective. And I will, use my phone and just record the voice memo and go the whole way down. And when I'm at the Comet Ping Pong Pizza, I will edit my podcast. And one of the gentlemen that worked at Comet Ping Pong Pizza, I could probably figure out his name, but it doesn't matter what his name was. he came up to me and he wondered what I was doing. And it just seemed like all eyes were on me. Like I said before, like people kept staring at me and I can't blame them. Like I said, people have come to that place with guns. People have set fire to that building. So any kind of interloper, any kind of new person, they probably are fairly leery of. I ordered a pizza. That's another thing that seemed kind of suspicious about the place. The pizza actually was pretty bad. It was pretty terrible, and it wasn't cheap. I mean, I bought a pizza and a salad, and it was a small pizza that was not that much food for one person, and the pizza was about $14. It was I don't even know if it was 10-inch. It might have been 8-inch pizza, and then a small salad. So the whole thing ended up costing me like $22, $23 with a tip. It was like $30. And I don't know. There's a stage in the back. Bands play there. And you can go online and check all this stuff out. But don't go on Google, because Google's actually very biased, and they don't really believe in free speech or electing anybody but leftist politicians, generally speaking. But go on Bing or go on DuckDuckGo. Actually, I think Bing. Go on the search engine Bing and look up Pizzagate. At the very least, it's an interesting read. I mean, whether it's true or not. And the owner of the place, his name is James Alefantes, and his name directly translates in French to something that's kind of weird. I ordered a pizza. They brought it. I didn't realize I had an InfoWars sticker on my fucking computer when the guy came over. He no doubt saw that, because I'm sure they're on high alert, right? And then a guy came over and asked me what I was doing. This guy was like, he had dark sunglasses on and a hat and fucking like band-aids on his face. It was kind of strange, but maybe it was just a fashion statement, perhaps. I mean, I don't know that he got beat up and he was like hiding something. I don't really know. But he asked me what I was doing, and I said I was editing a podcast, and he said, I do rap music and maybe you can help me out. I didn't understand. He said he could use somebody with my services, and I don't know if he thought I was going to make him a podcast, show him how to do a podcast, or have him on my podcast. And I still might have him on my podcast. But the next morning, I'm like, you know, I left Comet Ping Pong Pizza, and I just had this strange, eerie feeling. And like I said, I want to stress that I have no idea if anything was going on there. That's not what I'm insinuating, because I wouldn't want anybody that's innocent to be hurt. You know what I mean? But I did have an odd feeling when I left there. And I was like walking around, I was seeing all these little children, and there was like bookstores and kids, and I was just picturing something like out of that movie by Jordan Peele, where nothing is as it seems and everything's a big front and everybody has a strange look on their face, and meanwhile there's like horrible things going on, and I'm this outsider, this interloper, and you know, I was probably just projecting all this, but I did leave with kind of a strange feeling, and that's kind of all I'll say about it. The pizza wasn't any good. I don't know how they stay in business, but because no doubt that real estate is expensive as fuck. So maybe it is a front for something. I know the guy's an art collector, the guy that owns that place, and he's got a you know, crazy amount of art in a place where he shows it. It's kind of off limits to the general public. But what the fuck was I going to get when I left? Oh, the next morning, I'm going on Bing, and I'm listening to people talk about, you know, attempting to expose Pizzagate and going to Comet Ping Pong, and you know, and this one guy claims, and you can look it up, he claims that he went to Comet Ping Pong and he found some shit. He like found this network of nefarious activity across the globe, and he tried to expose it, and all of a sudden he was getting death threats from the people who owned this place. And then I realized, oh my God, I'd given that guy his number, my number. And I was like, wow, what if that dude is just making shit up about being a rapper, and he's coming to me, getting my phone number. And now, like, today with technology, especially me, I'm not like don't have major security or anything. You could, with my phone number, you could literally find out everything about me. You could literally find where I live, what I've done, what I'm talking about right now. So there was a little bit of regret on giving that dude who was a rapper my phone number. But I'm going to call him after tonight, and I'm going to see if he actually wants to do a podcast. And I'm going to ask him all about Comet Ping Pong Pizza and what that whole thing's like. And if he is like who he said he was, he'll have no problem like talking with me. We'll play some of his music. It'll be a grand old time. Anyway, it was a really cool adventure, Comet Ping Pong. And I wouldn't recommend it at all, unless maybe you're a band. It looked like maybe a pretty cool place to play. But those pizzas should have been about $9, Comet Ping Pong, not $15. Yeah. So what else? I was gonna go see Kiss tonight, but I don't have the money. And honestly, I saw them about a year and a half ago, and I can say I saw Kiss, as tonight will be their last tour ever, their last stop, presumably where I am. Now, unless they're playing like DC, and I get a wild hair up my ass, as my mother used to say, and want to go to DC or Baltimore in the next couple days, I'm not going to get to see them. I don't have the money. And honestly, as much as I think Paul Stanley is one of the great rock and roll songwriters and like a sensitive guy and has overcome so much and like a great performer and a great lover of women, I feel like he can't do it anymore. I feel like none of those guys aside from Gene Simmons are totally feeling it. The passion didn't come across to me, although Gene Simmons can really still sing. He never blew out his voice because he always sang in that like baritone kind of mid-range where Paul Stanley was screaming like a carnival barker, you know, from hell for many years. So I'm not going to go see Kiss, and I have to slowly come to that realization. It's getting late, right? I don't even know what time it is, but it's, let's see, actually I do. It's military time, so it says 17:45, so it's 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Well, it's only 5:45. Maybe I could still go. I don't know. But tickets are like $100. And that's probably nosebleed, you know? But it'd probably be good, man. I don't know if I'll go. But I do love Kiss. And I was obsessed with Kiss for like a year. And before I go, I'll tell you how I got into Kiss. My buddy Perry had some opium. And it was the bottom of a like a 7-Eleven cup. It cut off, and it was just filled with like scrapings of opium. Like you could like scrape bowls together and smoke it. And we were smoking it one night, and right before I passed out, when I felt like there had been concrete poured in my eyelids, because that's what opium makes you feel like. Like you will sleep like the dead for 12 hours straight, and it'll feel like it was 10 minutes. Right before I went to bed, I asked Perry. I was like, "Hey man, you always talk about Kiss. Can you show me one song? Can you tell me about one song? Can you sing me one song?" And he goes, yeah. And so he stood there next to the couch, and I'm laying there about to pass out. And he's just like, he's fucking grooving. Like, he's just real cocky, and but like in a cool way, you know, just being like, and I remember the lyrics to this day because I know the song now, but he goes, "I know a thing or two about her. I know she only make you cry." He's doing these hand gestures. "She lets you walk the streets beside her. And when she wants, she'll pass you by. Everybody says she's looking good. And the lady knows it's understood. Strutter." And he like flashes the devil signs. I said, "Man, that's fucking weird, dude." So I went to bed. I woke up the next day, like 12 hours later, and thought I had written that. And it was in my head. I'm like, "Perry." I went to him, but then before I actually got to tell him, I realized, oh no, that's that Kiss song. So it always stuck in my mind. So that was my introduction to Kiss, my buddy Perry telling me the lyrics to Strutter. And that's probably, it's in my top three Kiss songs. I mean, when they hit amazingly. Black Diamond, Strutter, Deuce, fucking, I don't know. Even some of the later stuff, like Shout It Out Loud. Was that later? I don't know. Heaven's on Fire, when they were in their heavy metal no makeup phase, kind of blending in with the butt rockers. Man, it's funny to watch all those butt rockers, those Hairspray metal guys, how they all acted, how they all had the same moves, man. I was watching Hanoi Rocks last night, and that's a band that the singer from Motley Crue killed their lead singer in a drunk driving accident. And I can see why they weren't bigger than they were, you know. As terrible as this sounds, it's probably better for their legendary status that he died, because I don't think they would have made it. I think they would have been a joke. But obviously, I'm not happy he died. I'm just saying, like, for that band status. Like, nobody would have heard of them had he not died. And I could see that, well, whatever. I think there's a lot of bands where if they had gone down on a plane, their third album, you know, Not that I want that, just being clear. But if they had, they'd be much more legendary. Or if they had broken up, you know. Die young, leave a pretty corpse, that whole thing. But anyway, I'm going to miss Kiss probably. But in case I change my mind, I'm going to get off the microphone right now. I want to thank everybody out there for listening to me. This has been The Shit Show with Jaba. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys enjoyed my girlfriend and her wonderful jingles. She's amazing, and we'll talk soon. And thanks for listening. Please reach out if you have anything nice to say. All right. Until next week, I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.